Okay, praise the Lord. Turn with me again in your Bibles this morning to Matthew chapter 16. And we'll begin reading in verse 13. This is our foundational text for the series that we've been in. This is part 10 of this series. I think the longest series I've ever done is a 10-part or a 12-part. I know we're going to bypass this. We got a new world's record this year in 2018. So we can celebrate that. I don't care what you say, I'm celebrating that. All right, Matthew chapter 16, beginning verse 13. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, "Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am?" And they said, "Some say that thou art John the Baptist, some Elijah, and others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets." And he saith unto them, "But whom say ye that I am?" And Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered and said unto him, "Blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. And I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." You say, "Brother Steve, aren't you tired of reading that scripture? Tired of understanding and getting more and more complete and a deeper revelation that Jesus, what Jesus is doing in the earth today, that he's in the process of building his church?" No, I'm not getting tired of that. And I hope you're not either. We ought to celebrate every time we hear that Jesus is still building his church. Because when he gives up, it's all over. Game over. No more opportunity for anybody to be saved. All that's going to be saved are saved. That's it. So he's building his church, and there's a purpose and a plan that he has for his church. And this is good news. We ought to celebrate every time we're reminded of the fact that we have purpose in this life. So this is part 10. And very quickly, as we often do, we're going to recap part 9. Part 9 was understanding mission. And this is the body ministering to itself. And Michael, if you'll put up that PowerPoint presentation that we have here. Understanding the three major aspects of the church, we're going back to this again. The three major aspects are mission, method, message, and method. And we have been for the last, this is the fourth week now that we're talking about mission. The mission of the church. Go to the next slide. The mission is that the Father wants to reach the world and bring as many who will respond to His grace and His goodness into His kingdom and into the love and care of His dear Son. Next slide. So, with the Father wanting to reach the world, He sent Jesus in order to accomplish that. Jesus has now ascended to be with the Father, and He said that He wanted those that were His disciples and all those that respond and hear His Word and obey His Word through them, they will also be His disciples, and that the responsibility of reaching the world has now been given to the body of Christ, which is the church. Jesus gave that responsibility to the church, and He also gave the anointing to fulfill that with the coming of the Holy Ghost in power in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, to equip the church to carry on the ministry of Jesus on the earth. And we've been talking the past four times about the body of Christ and the mission, which is twofold. First of all, the outreach ministry to the world, which we haven't gotten into yet, but we will, I believe, starting the next time. And then we're finishing up today, I believe, the part on the body ministries. Twofold, to reach the world and to minister one to another. That's what we're here for as the body of Christ. That's what we're to be meeting for. were to be meeting to prepare ourselves to reach the ends of the earth with the good news of the gospel of the kingdom. And we are to bear in mind that we need to receive strength and encouragement from the Holy Ghost and also from other members of the body that are used to do that. As I said, the church and its mission has a twofold responsibility: to minister to the lost and then also to itself. To minister to itself through, we see up here, the one another scriptures. We went over those. The doing of them is found in your hand. The doing of the one another scriptures, the obedience to the one another scriptures, is going to be found in your hand. That means whatever you have to do, whatever is close by you, whatever you have available, whatever resource, you can't give a cake that you don't have. You can't make a cake if you don't have the ingredients for that cake. So in order to fill the one another scriptures, to give to one another, to encourage one another, you're going to give the things that you have, that you already have been blessed with, that you can touch and reach out. Even if you don't have it in abundance, if you have it, you can give it. All the things that God wants us to do for one another is going to come from what He's given to us and we have access to by our hand. Then we talked about the motivational gifts in Romans chapter 12. The doing of them is found in your heart. It's found, the motivation is found within you. It's in your heart. It's what God has put within you. It's something that He has done as part of your DNA. Part of your Holy Ghost makeup is how He's made you to respond. And we got into that more, and we will again today as we recap. But the doing of that is found in your heart. And today, as we get into the manifestation of the Holy Ghost in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, this will become more clear as we get into it. But that, the doing of them, is found in Him. So the one another scriptures, the doing of it is found in your hand. The motivational gifts are found in your heart. And the manifestations of the Holy Spirit are found in Him. So the motivational gifts that we talked about last time, we have a few brief bullet point, high points here, and then we're going to go on. The seven gifts that are described in Romans chapter 12 are prophecy, an intuitive ability to see people and situation from God's perspective, sees what others do not see, and speaks forth what they see and hear. Then there was serving, the ability to show love by meeting the practical needs of others. Teaching, the ability to clarify truth through study and research. Exhortation, the ability to encourage others to grow spiritually, even in the face of hardship and suffering. Then there was giving, the ability to contribute generously and financial and material resources from the Lord's work, for the Lord's work, and for the well-being of others. The administration gift is the ability to coordinate people and resources and schedules to achieve goals. And then mercy, the ability to identify with and comfort those who are in distress. God's Word clearly teaches that we are to receive what He gives us in order that we might be a vessel of blessing to the body of Christ. That's regardless of what He gives to us, what kind of gift, what kind of manifestation, regardless of what He does, He gives to us so that we might have for ourselves and so that we might be a blessing to give that to others. We said that all seven of these gifts, these motivational gifts found in Romans chapter 12, should be functioning, in part at least, in each of our lives. But we will have one that is the strongest, and then a secondary one, strong one. But all of them should be functioning. That's our goal, is to see all of that functioning. Often our motivational gifts can be altered by maturity. This is something that Jennifer spoke to me about afterwards last week. She said, you know, I think, because I mentioned that I've seen mercy. She's operating in mercy. She said, you know, I think I operated in that a lot more when I was younger. I don't think that's my strongest gift today. And that's exactly true. We do, through maturity and growing, sometimes our gifts can alter. That doesn't mean the first gift wasn't a strong gift or a good gift or a necessary gift. It just means in the will and purposes of God, there's things that develop in us, and they're different from one time of our life to another. Our situation, our responsibility, can greatly impact which motivational gift we will draw upon, or default to. That's something that Tanya spoke to me about afterwards, that she had realized that in different circumstances, in different situations, she might respond and have a primary motivation to do something in one circumstance that she doesn't in another. And again, that is correct and part of what we had briefly touched on last week, but these things were brought up in the hearts of these two, and I'm glad that they shared something, because that is accurate, what they were sharing, and it was good. We said, don't spend a lot of time analyzing yourself or others. Learn to recognize the gifts and capitalize on them. Don't box yourself in or others in. We don't want to pigeonhole ourselves or other people. We want to be sure that we know that just as we can operate in different things and respond differently in different circumstances, so can others. So don't always think that she's always going to respond strong and pointed, and you know, sometimes she's going to respond with mercy. Sometimes she's going to be a server, you know, but so don't pigeonhole people and expect people to always act the same way. I expect people to respond to the Holy Spirit as well. It's important to develop all of the motivational gifts within yourself. And no motivational gift is better than the other one. They're all important. And many parts, one body, all are necessary. That's as far back as we're going to go into part 9. I trust that you had some things to think about and to consider, to talk over with those that are closest to you, especially husband and wives. Talk over some of these things and learn to see how others see you as well as how you see others. Okay, part 10. We're understanding mission, the mission of the church, which is reaching to the body of Christ and also to the world. And this is continuing the spiritual ministry to the body, but this time through the manifestations of the Holy Ghost. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. I'm going to first of all read that chapter, and then we're going to go through and pick out some high points. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. We're going to start in verse 1. Now, concerning spiritual gifts, if you'll see that the word gifts is in italics. Once again, as I said last week, anytime you see words that are italicized in the, especially the King James, you'll see that that word was added by the translators in order to bring clarity and help people understand more accurately the flow of the passage. But it doesn't say gifts there. It's actually saying now concerning spirituals, our spiritual things, our spiritual matters. Now, concerning spiritual things, spiritual matters, brethren, I would not have you ignorant. You know that you were Gentiles carried away unto these dumb idols, even as you were led. Wherefore, I give you to understand that no man speaking by the Spirit of God calleth Jesus accursed, and that no man can say that Jesus is Lord but by the Holy Ghost. Now, it's been my experience that I've heard several people who, from cult members to people who have no evidence of Christ in their life, can mouth the words and say the words, Jesus is Lord. I believe it's not talking about just saying those words, as in those words cannot come out of the mouth. I believe it's no man can utter that and say it with conviction and with confidence and with consistency that Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Ghost. There's a lot of people, don't use that as a test of whether somebody's a Christian or not, that's what I'm saying. Because some people will say it, but just because it comes out of their mouth doesn't mean it's accurate. Yeah.
There was a lady I met at Subway the other week who she was talking about was prophesied over that God wanted to use her in a certain way. And it was kind of really fishy to me. And so I told her to be very, to test, you know, the Spirit, to be very, you know, pray for discernment over whether that really was from the Lord or not. And she told me this scripture verse. She said, well, I asked him to tell me that, you know, whether Jesus was Lord or not so I could trust what he was saying. And I said, well, two things. Just because he said Jesus is Lord doesn't mean he's a Christian. Secondly, that doesn't mean everything he says after that is accurate either. But that was her way of testing whether that word was for her or not, and she was sharing it. So that's very concerning. So 100%.
Thank you. Also, no man speaking by the Spirit of God calls Jesus accursed. Anybody who has railing accusations that they throw against God, he didn't do this, he didn't do that, and they have a disdain for God, you know there's something wrong with that person's walk in Christ. They can't be a secure, solid, trustworthy member of the body of Christ with one moment saying, I love the Lord, and the next moment having all kinds of railing accusations against Him. Something is wrong there. So keep that in mind as well. Okay, let's go on. Now there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. What does it mean by diversities? Okay, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. Now, it uses the word gifts here. So these spiritual matters that he's talking about go beyond the gifts, but the gifts are included in this. That the Holy Spirit does manifest himself, as we see, through the members of the body of Christ. And it's a gift when he does it. It's a grace when he does it. But there are diversities of gifts. There's different kinds of gifts, but it's the same Spirit. And there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. Then what it means when it says there are difference of administrations, the Lord doesn't do the same thing all the time with everybody. He will speak to me and therefore speak through me in a way that he knows that I can respond to and share. He's still glorified in the midst of it, but it's not cookie cutter. He knows we're individuals, and so he deals with us. The administration, how he administers this giving of gifts, can be different. And there are diversities of operations. Well, when the Holy Spirit moves upon us and wants to manifest himself through us, then the operation of that is our part, and we do respond differently. We have a different way of, just like you, by hearing the sound of my voice, if you weren't seeing my face, if you knew me well enough, you'd say, oh, that's Steve speaking, or that's Jason speaking. How do you know that? Because you know our voice. You know the sound of our voice. You can associate my voice with me. So we all speak slightly differently. Things come through us slightly differently, but it shouldn't alter the outcome. We should just know that, and we should appreciate it. When I hear the Lord speak, and I hear Him speak through Craig, I hear Craig's voice, but I hear the Lord speaking through Craig, I don't think to myself, I wish he sounded more like Eric. I rejoice that I hear God speaking with Craig's voice. That we should all rejoice that the Lord uses all of them. But there's differences of operation, how it actually comes forth. But it's the same God which worketh all in all. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. The manifestation of the Spirit, that word manifestation, means to make visible, to make known, to be realized. The manifestation, the making known of the Spirit, to the revealing of the Spirit, is given to how many of us? All of us. Every man means all. Every is all. The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man, or all of us, to profit withal. And what does withal mean? All of us. So, the Holy Spirit wants to manifest Himself through each of us so that all of us profits by it. Okay, remember, the whole point we're trying to get to here is establish that this is part of body ministry. How does the body minister to itself? Through what's in our hand, through responding to the one another scriptures and caring for one another, loving one another, encouraging one another. Give what we have to give. Give what's available to us to give. Get what thoughts come to our mind to give, what resources that we have, what life experiences we have. Give that to one another. Share that with one another. Encourage one another. Bless one another. Give financially to one another. Give materially to one another. Be there. Hold one another's hand. Mop one another's fevered brow. Rejoice when one rejoices and weep when one weeps. That's what's in our hand to do. Then we do what's in our heart to do. Romans chapter 12, the motivational gifts. But just as important, respond and be that vessel of the Holy Spirit that He wants to use to show up, to manifest Himself in these ways that we'll talk about here in just a minute. So people who don't believe in the fullness of the Holy Spirit and the gifts being active for today are missing out on part of how we can minister to one another. We're not going to be as strong as a body if we don't have these things going and operating. Brother Steve, you just want us to be charismatic, or you just want us to be Pentecostal. No, I want us to be biblically accurate. I want us to be the best we can be for one another. And I know I can't be the best I can be for you if I don't hear the voice of the Lord and respond to it and allow the Holy Spirit to manifest Himself through me. The word that came forth this morning through me, and two of you responded to, said that spoke to me. What if that was never spoken this morning? Well, you wouldn't go out of here and die. You know, you're still going to live. You're still going to love the Lord. But there'd be something that you got from God that you wouldn't have gotten. Why would the Lord want to hold that back from anybody? He doesn't. He has these gifts here so that we can be a blessing to one another. Amen? But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. Now, we're going to be talking about these manifestations. We're going to be talking a little bit about it and sharing a little bit about it. But I'm not going into it into the depth that I would like to go in if I was actually teaching on these things. We go into a lot more depth. In fact, we have in the past. But the main focus is that these things are there and they're there to be received. We want the Lord to do what He wants to do through us. We want Him to manifest Himself through us. We want to be open to that. We want to seek that. And as the script in this passage ends, we want to desire earnestly the best gifts. Okay. For to one is given by the Spirit the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another diverse kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man, there it is again, severally or individually as He wills. So these are not up to us. These are not necessarily in our hand. These are not necessarily in our heart. These are not necessarily there until the Holy Spirit comes and manifests Himself. These are found in Him, not in us, not in our hand, not in our heart, but they're found in Him. And as He manifests Himself, then they will appear. But they will appear and be manifested through us. The Holy Spirit makes Himself visible, or known, and realized through every man to profit withal or the whole. We have listed here the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, faith, gifts of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. They are often grouped together for people who teach on these and who look diligently into things. They're often grouped together as, first of all, three gifts under the heading of inspiration: tongues, interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. Then three gifts under the heading of revelation: words of wisdom, words of knowledge, and discerning of spirits. And then three gifts under the heading of power: faith, working of miracles, and gifts of healing. I'm going to very quickly talk about each one of these nine gifts. Again, this is not a teaching that is in depth on this. This is not intended to fully teach and to bring you into all understanding of each one of these gifts. It's just to very briefly give bullet points for each one. The main purpose is to have you go into the Scriptures and spend time. I'm more than willing to discuss any of this afterwards or another time, or at some point in the future, go into a more lengthy discourse, or Michael or Jason could if they felt led of the Lord. That is not the purpose of this Sunday, the message from this Sunday. It is to just say that all of these are there. Be aware that they're there, and be aware that the Holy Spirit wants to manifest Himself in these ways, and He wants to use you as He wills. And there's nobody here that's born again and Spirit-filled that will be purposely left out by God. The only thing that will exclude us from being used is ourselves. When we don't believe we're worthy to be used, when we don't believe that the Lord wants to speak to us or could speak to us, or that we could possibly respond, that something within us will keep us from doing that. The only thing that's going to stop us from being used is us, if we're born again and Spirit-filled. And who wants to stop the Spirit of God from flowing? Not me. My example hand went down, because that is a correct example, down. Nobody wants to stop the ministry of the Holy Spirit, the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. And you know what? We can say all day long, we want the Holy Spirit to be here, we want the Holy Spirit to manifest Himself. We can say it all day long, but you know, it's going to take us, even the one saying, I want the Holy Spirit to manifest Himself, it's going to take me saying, Lord, use me. The Holy Spirit needs to be here. We need to have the manifestation of the Holy Spirit, and I want you all to do it. That's approaching it half right and half wrong. We do want those things, but I want, first of all, me to be available. And for your blessing and for my blessing, I want you to be available for Him to use also. So let's quickly go through these nine gifts. Very high level bullet point, not a complete explanation at all. It may leave more questions unanswered than it answers. Praise God. How many of you know that the Lord can show you things if you get in the Bible and look? Okay. How many of you know you have other resources available to you if you get stumped? Okay. So praise God. I encourage anybody who feels like this wasn't enough to get in and dig more. You get all the rest of your life. So nothing's stopping you. Okay, first of all, tongues. We see that there are many ways tongues are used throughout the Scriptures. We see that there's initial evidence of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. It's used in praising God, in prayer to God, edification of self, building self up, speaking the hidden things of God. But we're talking in this part here concerning the manifestation of the Holy Ghost, which is for the benefit of everybody else. I can pray in tongues and nobody else gets a benefit, but it is a benefit to me, so I'm going to do that. I can praise in tongues. Nobody else gets the benefit of that, but I get the benefit, so I'm going to do that. But it's not talking. When we're talking about tongues here, it's talking about a message spoken out in the service, in tongues, with the intent that it will be interpreted so others may be edified. So this is the portion of tongues that we're talking about here. There's other mention of tongues for other purposes in the Scripture, but the manifestation of the Spirit, when the Spirit manifests Himself through tongues, is when a person would speak forth and speak forth in an audible, loud voice above any ambient praise or worship going on, speak forth to be heard so that it will be interpreted. Okay? So, when that happens, it is not only a sign to the unbelievers, the Scripture says in 1 Corinthians 14, but it's also a blessing to the body of Christ. When that happens, it's not something that is to be for us to be afraid of, ashamed of, or anything. Like our relatives that don't believe the way we do, you know, don't bring them in and think, man, I hope nobody speaks in tongues this morning. I hope nobody embarrasses me by speaking in tongues. Well, if it's done correctly, God is going to be glorified. The body of Christ is going to be edified. Who doesn't want that? If somebody else in our family, our friends, somebody we invite, or I'm never going to invite anybody here because that may happen. Well, check your heart. Something's not right. We want that to happen in our midst. But when it does happen, then the next gift, the interpretation of tongues, should follow. Tongues that are given in the assembly as a message that is spoken with the intent to be heard is spoken with the intent that it will be interpreted. And it must be interpreted. If the Holy Spirit does not give the interpretation to someone else, or if the intended person does not respond, and sometimes that can happen, someone's sitting there with the interpretation, you've given the message in tongues, someone else definitely has it, but they say, I'm too scared. I don't know what to do. Okay, what happens? The person that gave the message in tongues needs to then pray and say, Lord, nobody else is responding. Please give me the interpretation. You've already proved that you're going to respond to God. You've already proved that you're going to obey God. So God knows He can trust you. That's why He said, pray, and I'll give you the interpretation. But when there's a message in tongues, followed by the interpretation, if the people, the original people who were intended to give it, then two people get blessed. On the giving side, we all get blessed because it was given. But on the giving side, two people get blessed for their obedience. When you have to pray and say, Lord, nobody else is responding, give me the interpretation, one person is going to get double blessed. But God's intention was that two people receive the blessing on the giving and that we all get blessed. So if this happens in one of our services, and it needs to, it should, we will have someone who would give this message in tongues. It would be something that is spoken out above the ambient noise. If Michael's playing the guitar softly, he hears it. He should stop playing. If we're praying and thanking the Lord and we hear it, even though it's loud enough to be heard, we should stop. We should give place to it. And then it comes out. So that person's blessed because they obeyed the Lord. We're blessed because we just heard a message in tongues and we know an interpretation's coming. And then someone responds with the interpretation. That person gets blessed for interpreting. And once again, we get blessed again for the interpretation. Does everybody understand that? Everybody see that? Okay. Just by way of putting this in your mind, so when it does happen, we kind of have an understanding. The message in tongues and the interpretation should go together both in length and in tone. In other words, when the tongues is given, the interpretation follows. It's an interpretation of the tongues. So you wouldn't want the tongues given, which is about one sentence long, the interpretation then come, and it's seven paragraphs long. That's not an interpretation. So the interpretation would be about the same length and be about the same tone. If the tongues came forth in a bright and cheerful manner, the interpretation wouldn't come forth as I'm angry at you. And vice versa, if it came forth in a very stern tone, it wouldn't come out as, my dear children, butterflies are above your head. They are resting on your noses and tickling your eyes. That wouldn't come forth in that sort of tone. It would have the same sort of tone as the original. Okay, does everybody understand? Okay, again, we're not doing an in-depth lesson on any of these, so we'll move on to prophecy. Excuse me. The definition of prophecy. It's a compound root word which means to say before. Those are the two parts of the Greek root word. To say before. It means before revealed by it's revealed to one, before it is revealed to another. And because it's revealed, it's not prophecy until it's spoken. How many of you said to yourself before, I knew that was going to happen? That wasn't prophecy. Because you didn't tell anybody in a day from now, this is going to happen. That's prophecy. Waiting until it happens and then spouting up saying, look how good I am. I knew that was going to happen. That doesn't do anybody any good. So prophecy is saying before it happens and saying accurately because you have heard it or seen it. Prophecy is spoken manward. It's the word of God to man. It benefits the body. The scripture tells us that it is given for edification, exhortation, or comfort. The person who's in the office of a prophet, someone who carries the mantle of a prophet, can bring correction. But he's a recognized prophet and his office is recognized. Someone who's speaking prophetically under the prophetic inspiration of the Lord, manifestation of the Holy Spirit, will never bring correction. That prophecy will always be for edification, exhortation, and comfort. So you're not going to have somebody without a recognized gift come down and spouting out something. You people are a bunch of hypocrites. Thus saith the Lord, I have warned you a billion times, and now I'm going to cut you off. Who is this person? Now, a message like that probably will never come like that, but if it did, it would definitely come through the office of a prophet. So prophecy is just sharing, thus saith the Lord, but it is an encouragement to the body of Christ. Everybody get that? This prophecy. Now, I'm not saying that other prophetic words won't come, that harsh prophetic words might come, but they don't come through a member of the body of Christ who is being used with a manifestation of the Holy Spirit. They will come from someone with a recognized gift, and other people will see, we better give heed to that because that man is a prophet. Does everybody understand that? If you have questions, ask me later or look it up. So, spoken to the body for the benefit of the body, for edification, exhortation, or comfort. Sometimes secret things will be revealed, but it is only to fix that which is broken or to bring comfort. It's not to... The Lord tells me that brother so-and-so is having an affair with sister so-and-so. No, that does not come through a prophetic word from a manifestation of the Holy Spirit in the body. The next thing is, it should be commonplace in our midst. Prophecy is something that has happened throughout Scripture. It's in the Old Testament, the New Testament. It should be commonplace, as should all the manifestation gifts. But I believe that prophecy should be one of the most common manifestations that we receive. The next is a word of knowledge. A word, it's a word of knowledge. A word is that which is spoken or declared. Again, it has to be spoken. And knowledge, that which is known personally and definitely. This is something the Lord shows you. It doesn't mean you know it because you saw it, but you know it because you know it. You know it in your knower. It's not suspicion. It's not, I think this is happening. I think this. It's something that you know. I mean, it is a knowing. It's something that you could take to the bank, a word of knowledge. Now, it doesn't mean that there's not faith involved in sharing it. There always is. But there's a word of knowledge that is given, which is something that you know. Scriptural examples would be Jesus speaking to the woman at the well when he talked to her about her marriage situation. And then in Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, when Peter knew that Ananias and Sapphira were lying to the Holy Ghost, where Jesus told Peter to go get their taxes by catching a fish and a coin would be in the mouth. He had a knowledge, and he spoke it to Peter. A word of knowledge would be expressed by someone being moved upon by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit ministers through them, calling out and having a knowledge of, there's someone here with a pain in their ear, or a headache, or a backache, or someone here that needs gas to get home today. Does the Holy Spirit do things like that? Oh, yes, He does. Does He love us enough to say, someone here? Wouldn't that be an encouragement? I mean, it's encouragement if you walked up to somebody and said, you know, I don't have enough money for gas. I really could you help me out? And then we respond because out of love, that's encouraging. But what if the person didn't say anything at all, and the Holy Spirit brought it up? There's somebody here that needs to be blessed today before they go home. So they need gas money. That's me. Hooray! You know, we're all excited. The Lord spoke. Word of knowledge. It could be that there's trouble. Someone here that's experiencing relational issues. Someone here has got a problem with their neighbor.
The Lord says that someone here is having bad problems with their neighbor. Word of knowledge. They respond. We'll go to the word of wisdom now. The word of wisdom would be, knowledge is expressing something that you know. Wisdom is, how do I apply that knowledge? How do I take that knowledge and bring good and blessing to that situation? So a word of wisdom would be something that the Lord speaks through the Holy Ghost that says, the Lord says, if you will bake chocolate cookies and take that to your neighbor and say, I want to give you these cookies, and I give you these cookies in the name of Jesus, and I want to ask you, how can I be a better neighbor? The Lord may be speaking to you, Michael. You don't have problems with your neighbors, but he likes chocolate cookies. I may have gotten off in the flesh there just a little bit. Sorry about that. Okay. So, a word of wisdom would be that that is given, and if you receive that from the Lord and do it, and then all of a sudden your relationship breaks open and there's healing, wasn't that a word of wisdom that the Lord gave? So, word of knowledge is knowing something that you wouldn't already know and speaking it forth. This is something that the Lord's saying is going on. Somebody's having a... I remember, Katie, you're going to have to forgive me if I get this wrong. I don't think I got it wrong. But one day when we were in the fellowship, in the sanctuary here before we deconstructed it, we're meeting in there, and I remember the Lord spoke to me and said, gave me a word of knowledge. Someone here has a problem with their ear. And I believe I said, it's their right ear. And I said, if that's you, the Lord wants to heal you. Katie goes, I said, well, come on up. And the Lord had already told me, given me a word of wisdom on what to do. Whoever this person is, whack them upside the head in that side that's hurting. And now, this is not something I normally do, okay? I normally obey the Lord, but I have not hit a lot of people that come forward. I just haven't done that. But the Lord spoke to me before Katie responded. He told me, this is the word of knowledge, and then this is the word of wisdom. This is how I want you to minister healing to them. Katie raised her hand. I thought, oh no, it's Katie. And secondly, she was carrying a baby on the right side. I thought, how am I going to hit her without hitting a baby? Somehow I did it. Do you remember that? Somehow, I don't know how I hit you without hitting the baby, but I obeyed the Lord, and I hit Katie on that side of, and then, she didn't say anything that day. We went and we had a baptismal service afterwards. She never said anything. I thought, oh dear, you know, police going to show up at my door for hitting people at church. Katie waited a whole week to say, oh, by the way, when that happened last week, my ears just, it got better immediately. Or shortly after. I thought, thank you, Jesus. All this we would do in faith. Okay, all of it we do in faith. When you have the Word, I knew it. I knew the Holy Spirit spoke to me. But that doesn't mean you don't have doubts. So, we need to deal with this thing, hearing the Lord and then having doubts. Do we hear the Lord? At some point, you just got to say, well, these people love me. The Lord loves me. If I'm wrong, I'll get corrected and I'll do better next time. We just got to have that attitude about it. I don't want to be wrong. I don't want to do the wrong thing. I don't want to have to be corrected. But I'd rather do the wrong thing and be corrected than to just sit here and the Lord never use me. Does everybody see that? So anyway, it took faith for me to respond to the Lord as I did. But Katie got blessed. Once I found out that the healing came as the Lord said it, I finally felt blessed. That's another reason why we need to respond when the Lord says something. That was for me. Thank you, Jesus. That encourages. You might have somebody who's the first time they ever responded to the Lord. Then the Lord spoke to them, it ministered to you, but you never completed the cycle. And so they think, well, that was a dud. Well, all along, it was never a dud. The Lord accomplished what He wanted to accomplish. The only thing He didn't do is come back and say, thank you. Anyway, that was not an encouragement to hit somebody you're praying for. Like I said, I don't know how many times I've done that, but it hadn't been very many. And there's only one in this body. Lord, let it be the last. Word of knowledge, word of wisdom. A word of wisdom will start with knowledge, either acquired by natural or supernatural means. But then the word of wisdom is a direct pathway to God's blessing or to a problem solved. Remember when Jesus told the disciples when they were fishing, put your net on the other side? That was a word of wisdom. They responded, they obeyed the Lord, and there was blessing. I remember when Paul told Timothy to don't continue to drink water, but have a little wine for your stomach's sake. That was a word of wisdom. The next one is discerning of spirits. Discerning is to separate or to make a distinction, discriminate. Spirits. It could be discerning whether it's the Holy Spirit or an evil spirit. We need to know that, don't we? We need to know not all spirits are of the Lord. So discerning of spirits would be a supernatural means of saying, that was the Lord we just heard, that was not the Lord. Remember when Peter was in this passage that we first read as our foundational text, and Jesus said, blessed are Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee. The Lord Jesus was blessing him one minute, and then Peter later on, when Jesus said about what he was going to have to suffer, Peter said, oh no, Lord, don't let that happen. That's not going to happen. And the Lord rebuked him and said, Satan, shut your mouth. So one minute, Peter was speaking, thus saith the Lord, and revelation from the Lord. The next minute, he was being used of the devil. But Jesus was able to discern and say, that was the Lord, that wasn't. It could either be discerning of spirits, as in the Holy Spirit or evil spirit, or a spiritual force versus the supernatural spiritual force versus the human spirit, or it could be those spirits that are evil and discerning which evil spirit is at work there and being able to know that's the spirit of jealousy or that's the spirit of pride. Discerning of spirits and knowing what you're dealing with. Again, discerning of spirits. The next one is faith. Got to motor through these. Again, it's not the purpose of teaching fully. Faith. This is a supernatural faith that goes beyond. I've got many more things to say, but I'll just even abbreviate it more than what I was going to. This is not the faith that was given to you when you're born again, that seed or the measure of faith that every person's been given. Every born-again child of God has been given the measure of faith. How big is that measure? I don't know. It doesn't matter. You got a measure, I got a measure. But we walk and exercise our faith, and our faith can grow. So whatever we're given, our faith can grow. The faith that's talked about here as a manifestation of the Holy Spirit is somebody receives faith for something that none of us have been able to cause our faith to grow to that level by exercising our faith. Remember when David fought the giant? One of the things he said was, I know I can beat this giant because when I was watching a sheep, I beat a lion and I beat a bear. God's already shown me that He's with me. So David's faith was increasing each time. And when he saw that giant, he said, I've got a history of God working in my life. And even though this is a stretch for me, I believe that God is with me and I believe it can be done. Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? What this supernatural faith is here is we need to operate in a level of faith that none of us have exercised our faith to that point or anywhere near it. Imagine the faith required for Mary to say yes to the angel that she will have a baby that's conceived in her by the Holy Ghost. What in her life ever prepared her for that? She didn't start off and see rabbits supernaturally conceived, and then she had a calf born from an immaculate conception with a cow, and then she's seen a pattern. No, this is completely unheard of ever before, and yet she had the faith to receive it. That's what we're talking about here, a manifestation of the Holy Ghost that gives faith which cannot be explained. It is just beyond anything that we've exercised our faith for. Now, the gifts of healings. This is a special, right now, healing that is given to heal one and strengthen and encourage many. This is, I'm amazed. I don't know how, sometimes with things of God, there's not a clear-cut delineation when one thing stops and another thing starts. Sometimes these things dovetail together. Sometimes there's a very clear delineation between two things. Sometimes they just kind of flow from one to the other. And one thing as I was studying and meditating on this that I thought was a very important side note is if anyone doubts the will of God to heal, please consider all the many ways that healing is made available to God's people. You can call for the elders of the church to receive healing. You can lay hands on the sick. You can pray the prayer of agreement. There are so many different ways. The prayer of faith, just praying in faith, just believing God. But yet, on top of all that, we have a manifestation of the Holy Spirit, which is yet another way when someone, and this is where I'm bringing Eric in, where Eric said he was driving over to our house and he had all this. You want to describe it real quick, Eric? What was going on with you?
I told Jennifer too, I wasn't sure if I had the gift of healing or what, but I would have different things happen to me throughout the last week. Whether it be on my hip will start hurting or my shoulder will hurt. And I was just completely confident in the Lord that I'd be healed. And I just touch it and pray over it, and then right away it would go away. It wouldn't be no more than 5 minutes at the most or max. It would go away. And so anyway, I knew Steve was sick for about 2 days, and I thought, I'm going to pray over Steve. Because it's like, this is something that the Lord has blessed me. Whether it be a thing where I don't have to give for healing and I can go around healing people, obviously I wouldn't boast to myself, I'd boast to the Lord. But if it's something that the Lord has blessed me with to do, I wasn't going to sit on it. And so knowing that Steve was sick, I was like, I'm going to go over there. And even actually, Jennifer brought her. She goes, you should pray for Daddy. So I was like, you know what? That's a good idea. And so sure enough, went in there and asked him how he was doing and everything. And I said, Steve, I just explained how I did about the gift of healing. And I said, I want to pray for you. So he said, well, let's go, you know, and then pray for him. And I think he knew the excitement I had because of knowing the faith. I said, Steve, I know you've got the same faith I do that the Lord still heals today. And so I prayed for him. He said, well, let's get Susan here. Pray for Susan, too. So
It was for other things. She wasn't feeling sick at that point throwing up. She had some pains in her body, and that's what the prayer was for at that time.
I couldn't sit on something I felt like the Lord was moving me in to do. You know, I felt like that was Him telling me something and me responding to it, especially specifically for me and for Steve. Susan was a bonus, but she's going
to be back. Okay, so going back to the point, my healing as a child of God, another way that I have healing is just believing what the Word of God says. The healing is a children's bread, that it's part of the atonement. It's part of what He bought and paid for me. He has provided so many different ways to win. How can anybody say healing's not for today when he's provided so many different ways? So, gifts of healing. If we're in a meeting and someone feels that the Lord is using, moving upon them to be used in that way, then it would manifest itself by that feeling or that sense, that knowing in your knower that God wants to heal somebody, and just say, I believe that God wants to use me to pray for sick folks right now. And people can respond to that. Why not? If the Lord's moving that way and manifesting Himself, I'll receive the benefit of that, won't you? Amen. So, gifts of healings. And then the last one is the working of miracles. That word miracles means power. It's used for all sorts of different, translated all sorts of different ways, but it's sometimes translated, miracles, plural, as a noun, is only in the 1 Corinthians chapter 12 as miracles. But a miracle is throughout the Scripture, and it's either translated power, works of power. It's the same word we get when the baptism of the Holy Ghost we receive. It's a form of the word dunamis, that miracle working power. A miracle is something beyond a healing. It's when a body part is not just healed, but made whole. My arm could be cut off, and someone could lay hands on it, and the bleeding stop, and the skin began to heal up, and it scab over, and it heals, and I don't die from it, and it heals up, and it heals up quickly. That's healing. A miracle is when my arm grows out, a creative miracle. When something happens that nature cannot support on its own. It's a body part that's not just healed but made whole. It's supernatural transportation that we see in the Scripture. Nobody I know has ever been supernaturally transported. Although my wife says she made it to the airport one time in 20 minutes. I'm not going to disagree with her. But anyway, and she wasn't speeding. But anyway, supernatural transportation, being transported from one place to another. How did I get there? The Lord took me in the Spirit. That's a miracle that can't be supported by nature. A supernatural supply of food or water or fuel. I have had that happen. We had a fuel in our heating system over in England that was almost to totally empty, run for weeks when we had no money. And when the weather broke and it started turning warm outside, then there was no need for the miraculous fuel and we ran out. And then we had money to refuel it before we needed it again. But I have seen that happen. But supernatural supply of food is when Jesus broke the food and it multiplied. And where water came out of the rock when Moses spoke to it and when he struck it. He should have spoken to it and he struck it the second time. Natural laws are suspended, are altered, superseded, are reversed. That's a miracle. We often say, I said it this morning when I was talking to Susan, I said, I feel like I had a miracle with my healing, with me being overcoming this thing so quickly. To me, it's not really a miracle. It's can be explained somehow by God intervening and working with nature. But when something... Nature doesn't grow a new arm. It doesn't happen on its own. Nature doesn't cause blind eyes to see. Nature, there was a guy I heard of that had totally blind eyes and yet could read his Bible through blind eyes. It's a miracle. That's working of miracles. And those things can happen in the body of Christ as the Holy Spirit wants to do that. We should always be open for all of the Holy Spirit's manifestation to
to be manifested in any way He wants to do. We welcome His presence. Amen? We welcome Him to show up, to show off, to show out, and to be glorified. We want Him. We want to be encouraged by Him. And I want to be encouraged just to know that a person who hasn't before been used in an area all of a sudden starts being used. That's an encouragement to me. It was encouragement to me. Eric's been used to encourage before. He's an encourager as part of what God's made him to be. And every now and then I'll get a phone call and he'll just say, I just called to tell you I love you and I appreciate you. And you're a blessing to me. I thought, man, Eric, if you only knew how bad a day I was having. But, you know, to be used in this area, saying, Steve, I want to pray for you. What encouragement to me. What encouragement it is to the body when we see other people. We're not jealous of someone being used of the Lord. We're encouraged. So that's what we want to do. We want to yield ourselves to the Holy Spirit. We want to see the rest of the body of Christ ministered to through the manifestation of the Holy Spirit. We want to use what's in our hand. We want to use what's in our heart. And we want to use what's given to us by Him. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the truth of Your Word. Thank You for the encouragement. Thank You for what You've said already here this morning, both in the expounding of Your Word and also the different means of exhortation, the examples that we've heard. Thank You for the prophetic word. We thank You for the response to that. Lord, we just bless You. We thank You. We want more of You in our midst. Lord, I pray that each one of us would do what it says in the end of 1 Corinthians chapter 12, and that's to desire earnestly Your gifts. We thank You, Lord, in Jesus' name. Amen.